And please remain standing out of reverence for God's word. Our lesson for today, as you see, comes from 2 Kings 19, starting in verse 9. Now the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Cush. Behold, he has set out to fight against you. So he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, the nations that my fathers destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, the king of Hena, the king of Iva?" Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, the God of Israel enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone." Here ends the reading.
I'd ask that you bow with me as we pray before hearing God's word. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word. We pray that you would speak through me. And we pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts to hear your word. We thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. So Pastor asked me for, is thanking me for preparing the message, but I should really be thanking him for reading the passage of scripture that I chose. because to be honest, it's about chapter 18 and 19, and I chose the hardest section out of those two chapters, so thank you, Pastor. I realized Friday, I was like, do I really want to read all of these names? Because I think that I would have done worse than that. But thank you, Pastor. Well, as you can see on the screen, 2024 is here. So Happy New Year. How many of you had fun celebrating the new year? Wow, all right. Seems like everybody had a lot of fun. All right. But how many of you have plans for 2024? Do you have things that you plan on doing this year? I see a few head nods, but not a lot of hand raising. Come on, we just had hand raising. We can do it again. All right. All right, well, maybe this year you're planning on retiring. Maybe this year you're planning on graduating high school or graduating college. Maybe this year, you're planning on getting a promotion. How many of you would really like a promotion at work? Yeah, most of you guys would, yeah. All right. Or what about that dream vacation that you've been planning for 5 years, and this is the year you're going to do it? Or how many of you grandparents are finally able to take your grandkids, all of them, as loud as they may be, you're going to put them all in the same vehicle and drive them to wherever they decide they want to go? Because they're finally old enough that you don't have to carry a diaper bag. All right? We have plans for 2024. But when you look back at 2023, I'm sure that there are a few things that happened that didn't necessarily make your list last January. Some of them are good. Some of them might not be so good, in our opinion. I'll be completely honest. I did not expect for my mother to spend a month of 2023 in the hospital, part of which was in the ICU. I was not expecting that. And I'm sure that there are things that come to your mind when I bring stuff like that up. Things that you wish wouldn't have gone the way they did. But as you look back on 2023, the Lord has blessed you because you are here in 2024. Regardless of the things that happened in 2023, good or bad, the Lord has carried you to 2024. You might have a few more bumps and bruises, but you're here. But we're going to talk about and look at the situation that we find King Hezekiah in the passage that we read today. Now, a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of a history for King Hezekiah. He's the king of Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel. He is also a king that loves the Lord. There weren't a lot of those after King Solomon. There weren't a lot that loved the Lord. We see in chapter 18 of 2 Kings that he is cutting down idols. He's destroying the false gods left and right. He is kind of kicking butt and taking names in the false god department. He's turning the people towards the one true God. As king, he's doing what he is supposed to be doing and pointing the people to the one true God. He's not allowing the false gods to be worshipped as much as he can. I'm sure it still happened in some ways, but he was doing a pretty good job. But if you look at the beginning of his reign, in the fourth year of his reign, we get introduced to somebody or a nation called the Assyrians. Now, again, if you continue to read chapter 18, you will learn that this is the nation that wiped out, that conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. They destroyed them, carried them off, and it was ugly. But if you keep reading, you see that this is 10 years later. The events that Pastor read for us, this is in the 14th year of his reign. So this is 10 years. There has been 10 years since the northern kingdom was captured. It's been 10 years since the Assyrians had pushed on the anywhere near the border of Judah. But if you're like me, if you haven't had to deal with something for 10 years, it probably goes to the back of your mind. To be honest, there's not a lot of things I worry about today that I worried about 10 years ago. If it hasn't happened in 10 years, well, I'm pretty safe to say, who's going to say it's going to happen in the 11th year? I'm okay. Now, I know that that could just be me, but I'm willing to bet that there's things that you guys have left 10 years ago that you're not worried about anymore. But as we continue to read, it has been 10 years, and we are now introduced to a new king of Assyria. His name is Sennacherib, or as Pastor pronounced, Sennacherib. I'm going to go with how I've always said it, because otherwise I'm going to get screwed up, but I'm going to pronounce him as Sennacherib. But I'm not sure why, but it seems that he just wants to rule the world. He kind of thinks he should rule the world, and he's going to do everything he can to prove it. And honestly, it seems like he has the army to do so. As you read through chapter 19 and chapter 18, you see all the nations that have been destroyed by the Assyrian army. And it wasn't exactly a fair fight. The Assyrians walked in and kicked everybody out. But yet King Sennacherib decides, I'm going to keep going. And he looks to the nation of Judah and says, I have not conquered them yet. What makes them any different than any other nation that I've conquered? So what's an evil jerk with a big army and an even bigger ego to do? Well, he decides to wage war against Judah. And we read in verse 13 of chapter 18 that that's exactly what he does. He wages war against Judah. Now, I'll stop right there for a moment. Now, you might be wondering, how does this apply to me? How can I relate to a king of a nation, to a ruler of a people? How could I place myself in this situation? And to be honest, I'm going to guess that King Hezekiah, for the last 10 years, may have worried about it, But like we talked about earlier, probably wasn't on the top of his worry list. And that's where we can relate. Hezekiah probably didn't have the Assyrians marching through his border at the top of his worry list because it's been 10 years since they've done something. Does that relate to us? That something might pop out of nowhere and hit us right in the teeth? So that's where we can kind of draw some of the parallels to King Hezekiah. But as we continue, King Sennacherib, he starts attacking the nation of Judah. And as you read, he goes through and from one fortified city to the next, he is destroying them and wiping them out. These are not just your normal cities. These are specifically said they are fortified, meaning they should be ready to withstand an attack. But they don't. They fall. And as King Hezekiah looks out and he can possibly see the smoke from his fortified cities burning in the horizon, he feels pretty overwhelmed. Like this is like an NFL team going to a high school on a Friday night and saying, "We're your opponent." Okay? Even the Packers can beat a high school team, okay? Sorry. I knew that was coming. All right. So what is King Hezekiah's first reaction? Well, to be honest, his response is like most Americans. His response is to chuck a bunch of money at it and hope the problem goes away. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I'm going to chuck a bunch of money at it, and it's going to be gone. Well, like in today's day, it may seem to work for a moment, but the problem only gets worse. Our reaction to a problem, no matter how big or how small, is to try and solve it ourselves. I'm as guilty of it as you are, but how many times have we said subconsciously, "I'm smart enough to figure this problem out on my own. God, you can take the day off." Or, "I'm strong enough to carry this. God, go help somebody else that needs it. I don't need your help today." How many times have we said that? "God, I don't need your help. I got this one." King Hezekiah did the exact same thing. "I'm wealthy enough to solve this problem without God's help." Even though, as you read, he takes the gold off the temple doors to try and pay off King Sennacherib, and it still doesn't work. But after King Hezekiah tried to pay his way out of the situation, the problem gets worse. There is now an army that has come to tell him that he needs to surrender, that his God cannot save him. That is the message that is given to him by the messengers. They tell him, of all the other gods that they have cast into the fire and that have done nothing to stop the mighty army of the Assyrians. So Hezekiah tears his clothes, he goes into despair, and he sends a message to the prophet of the Lord, to prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah says that the Lord will protect you. The Lord will put his hand around you. The Lord will cause the king of the Assyrians to go away. That's about it. There's a few more details in there, but he just says it's not going to be a problem. Okay, so King Hezekiah is feeling a little better. At least I would be. But then as we read in chapter 19 is what Pastor read for us, there's this letter. And this letter is from King Sennacherib saying, "I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to wipe out your entire nation. How dare you defy me?" And King Hezekiah knows that he has the army to do it. King Hezekiah doesn't have an army to fight against the Assyrians. But what does King Hezekiah do with this death letter that he is now holding It's a death sentence. If you look at your Bible, please look at chapter 19, verse 14. He spreads it before the Lord. There is nothing Hezekiah can do. There is no army to try and defend the city with. There is no earthly ally that he can call on for aid. There's no gold left to even try and pay off the Assyrians. But he spreads the letter before the Lord of the universe. But we may not seem, or it may not seem that this is the reason that we think it is. Now, honestly, I suspect that the reason he spread the letter was because he had no army, because he had no gold. He had no other option. And that might be true. But if you look at the different responses of King Hezekiah to the same message, he reacts to the same message in different ways. The first time was a messenger. He walks up and says, I'm going to knock you and all of your family and all the citizens of this city out of the history books. That's what the messenger basically says. You're going to be an ant that's going to get stepped on. And King Hezekiah, as we just talked about, tears his clothes, goes into distress. Okay, rightfully so. I would probably respond in the same way if that was the custom. He's in despair. But if you look at the second time that he gets the exact same message, only this time it's by way of the letter, it seems he calmly takes the letter and walks to the house of the Lord and spreads it before the Lord, and he prays. It is a little different than the first time that he got the same message. I'm not sure exactly what all changed in his thinking, but I do know that there is one thing that has changed, and that is that he now has a promise from God that everything's going to be okay. The amount of faith that is displayed here is crazy to me. It is mind-melting of, I don't understand. Because with the same message, just maybe weeks or a month earlier, he was beyond himself. And now the same death sentence, he calmly walks to God and says, this is the problem. I leave it in your hands. Imagine the testimony to the people around the king, his family, those in his court, those that know what's going on. They more than likely know what the letter says, and they know what the messenger had said beforehand. They can more than likely see the army out front. And yet he goes to the Lord, and I envision it like a scroll, and he spreads the letter out, places it before the Lord, and says, Lord, you have promised it's going to be okay. This is your problem. I can't do it. Only you can. And he trusts that the Lord will take care of it. Parents, look at your children. They are going to notice what you reach for to solve the problems of 2024. They're going to know how you faced the problems, and they're going to see and remember your example for the rest of their lives. If 2024 has a few things that go from bad to worse, and it seems impossible for you to even make sense of it, let alone try and fight against it, please remember to go to the Lord first. If there is a situation that hits you right in the mouth and it knocks you on your back, remember that the Lord of the universe, the Lord of all creation, is sitting there waiting to catch you because he knows what's coming. And he says, I've already known that. This is how I'm going to solve it. He will be there for you. I will ask that you look at verses 32 through 37 of chapter 19 as I read them for you. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way he came, by the same he shall return. And he shall not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived at Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Abimelech and Sherezer, the sons, struck him down with a sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. Now, some people might think that that is an unusual way for God to answer that prayer. And that's okay. We're not going to understand how God answers the prayers of 2024. We're not going to fully understand it when we get to 2025. And if I were a betting man, I'd bet we wouldn't understand it in 2026 either. But the Lord is with you. So when the trials come that seem like they're going to be more than you can handle, don't try and solve it yourself. Now, I'll probably still try, and I'm sure some of you will still try, if not all of you. But remember what the Lord has said, that he will be with us. And he has proven time and time again that he loves us and that he will put his hand upon us and protect us. The other gods that the Assyrians talked about defeating were not true gods. There's a lot of false gods in this world that we sometimes on accident, sometimes on purpose put our trust in. But when you put your trust in the one true God, that is when things are going to get done. Because only the Lord can work miracles. Trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the example that you gave to us as you protected King Hezekiah and the city. We pray, Lord, that we'd remember that as we enter 2024. Lord, you are good beyond what we can comprehend, and we pray that we would trust you and serve you. We thank you for your Son, how you died on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.